Word of God. Turn to Joshua chapter 7. We are on a journey with Joshua. We really want to experience God in the fullness, don't we? We don't want any half measures. We don't want to stop. If God wants so much for us, this whole series started because we felt that there was a lot of prophetic words coming for the church, but we didn't just want to be a church that heard God in the prophetic. It's as great and wonderful as that is, but we want to see indicators and step into everything that God has got for us, but I'm going to backtrack through the whole thing. But God is really dealing with me. And last week, if you was here, we spoke about the thing of the plunder, how Achan had the plunder. And the plunder wasn't sinful in itself, it was just silver, gold, and a nice robe. But how in life we can chase the good things, like the Christian life. We can chase, as a pastor shared my heart last week, how you can chase revival, you can chase the big church full of nice people, how you can chase nice ministries. And a Nino in itself is sinful, but if that becomes the focus, then you'll find yourself in defeat, because there's only one way to true revival. True, Jesus says, I'll build my church. And so the whole heart of the church is to focus us upon Jesus Christ. And I'm sure if us as a fellowship with our hearts devoted upon Jesus Christ, whether there's 550 or 500 of us, then the plunder, he'll share the plunder with us. We'll see salvation, we'll see miracles, there will be success in ministry. But we've got to watch that success in ministry doesn't become the be-all and end-all. And I've been there myself, and God will show you that it's not the be-all and end-all. He will show you this, he's the be-all and end-all. And if you try and bypass him, and you're just ambitious, then he'll show you, you just can't do it without him. And he'll show you you can't date him without him, because he's the main thing, isn't he? So Joshua chapter 7, Joshua 7 again, but we're looking as well at Joshua 8. Joshua 7, I was comparing scriptures. Romans 7 and 8, it's the same sort of thing. Joshua 7, the Israelites get defeated by Ai. Joshua chapter 8, they go on into victory. Romans chapter 7, Paul is speaking about a man himself that is defeated. Oh, what a sinful man I am. I try to do good. Every time I try to do good, I find that evil is right here beside me. He's a guy trapped in sin. But then he says, Who can deliver me? Who can deliver me from this body of sin? If you ask the right question, you can get the right answer. The Apostle Paul never said in Romans chapter 7, what can deliver me? He brought it back to who can deliver me. And he got the right answer. He said, praise God, Jesus Christ can deliver me. And so if when you compare Romans 7 and 8 and you go into Romans 8, there is no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. We can overcome the power of sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you look at Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8 is about victory. So we're going to look at what the problem is sometimes and how we live defeated lives. We've got to look at the answer. We will also, at the end, just been tying it up. But the main theme of this morning is this: set the town on fire as the Lord has commanded. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 7. So this has got to see Joshua's attitude in fighting the next battle. Joshua had seen an amazing miracle with Jericho. God had given him a territory to come down. As he was asked to do was walk through. The problem is, after they've seen the amazing victory, they thought it was about them, and you see it in Joshua's attitude here in verse 2. Joshua sent some of his men from Jericho to spy out the town of Ai, east of Bethel, near Bethaven. When they returned, they told Joshua, there's no need for all of us to go up there. It won't take more than 2,000 or 3,000 men to attack Ai. Since there are so few of them, don't make all our people struggle to go up there. Approximately 3,000 warriors were sent. They were soundly defeated. The men of Ai chased the Israelites from the town gate as far as the quarries. They killed about 36 who were retreating down the slope. The Israelites were paralyzed with fear at this turn of events, and their courage melted away. And then they learn a lesson. They've got the thing of Achan after that, they learn a lesson. Didn't go into battle without setting your eyes upon Jesus. Joshua says, we bet them we 10,000 the last. Didn't I send Abdi? Didn't I bother sending Abdi doing? We've got Jericho with 10,000 warriors. Just send a couple of thousand down. It'll be okay. They forgot this principle. Didn't go into battle without Jesus Christ. If you get your eyes off of him, you'll soon find yourself defeated until you learn the principle. The battle and the victory belongs to the Lord. So they ended up in defeat. And then Joshua ended up in his face in repentance. And then listen to Joshua chapter 8. After God has dealt with him, then the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid or discouraged. Take all your fighting men and attack Ai. For I have given you the king of Ai, his people, his town, and his land. You will destroy them as you destroyed Jericho and its king, but this time you may keep the plunder and the livestock for yourself. Set ambush behind the town." So Joshua and all the fighting men set out to attack Ai. Joshua chose 30,000 of his best warriors, sent them out at night with these orders: "Hide in ambush close behind the town and be ready for action. When our men, army attacks, the men of Ai will come out to fight as it did before. We will run away from them. We will let them chase us until we have drawn them away from the town. For they will say the Israelites are running from us as they did before. And while we are running from them, you will jump up from your ambush and take possession of the town. For the Lord your God will give it to you. Set the town on fire as the Lord has commanded." What an amazing gospel verse that is. Hallelujah. "Set the town on fire as the Lord has commanded." You have your orders, church. Set the town on fire as the Lord has commanded. What an amazing gospel message that would be. But we're in the gospel service, are we? Or are we? Set the town on fire, people. The Lord has commanded. I'm just going to take you on a journey and see the similarities between the battles. And you'll see the only difference is this. They took their eyes off of Jesus. The similarities: Joshua mustered the army. He met Ai in the valley. The army comes out to face the Israelites. They start running away. The first thing that happened in Joshua 7, the people of Ai caught up with them, obliterated them. 36 people died. Israel's fear captivated them. They lost their faith because they turned their eyes off with Jesus. In Joshua chapter 8, the same thing happened. Very, very similar. Israel came, mustered their army. Ai came out to meet him. Israel started to run away in the opposite direction. Ai followed them. And then when Ai came away from the town, the army of Ai came away from the town, Joshua raised his spear towards heaven, and they came in and ambushed the land. Very, very similar. So what is the difference then between defeat and success? What is the difference between bound and living a life of victory for Jesus? Because we examine ourselves, and we examine our defeats. And I've did it myself. And it used to be my job in Sunnybrae. A guy would come in. I was in charge of the people for induction to phase 3. And sometimes they'd come in 2-3 times. And you'd sit down first week, a couple of weeks in, and they'd be in for the third time, and you'd sit down. And you'd examine if it went wrong. How did you end up back on drugs? Let's examine defeat. And sometimes it would be stories of how they left and they didn't get involved in church, that they didn't relate to people in church and they blame the church. And sometimes it was their mom's fault for not trusting them and they had a dispute. And sometimes it was the kids' fault. And sometimes it was usually something to blame. They didn't get the job that they hoped for. Paul came for, I'm speaking about, and used to examine, well, if it went wrong. Because we can examine if it went wrong, we've got to stop that from happening again and put things in place. What was this? They turned their eyes off of Jesus. And didn't matter if it had happened with families, with kids, with jobs, with church. The bottom line to every Christian defeat I've found is taking their eyes off of Jesus. Because I've yet to find a person that with their eyes on Jesus, they have suffered and lived life completely in defeat. Now, we've got to learn from defeats because I've been defeated myself. And the crux of every defeat, we can complicate things. And we can hear the strategies and how the structures of how to get people to fall into sin and how to get them back out of sin. The bottom line is this, is the only difference between Joshua 7 and Joshua 8, they went in, Joshua, they had their eyes on Jesus again. In Joshua chapter 7, they was full of their own self-importance. Just send a couple of thousand doing it. It's okay, we've been here before, we've done this before. We don't need so much people, why bother? And they ended up in defeat, running and being defeated. And God's purpose for us is to live life defeated lives. It's to live lives in victory. It's to live life advancing the kingdom of Christ. Jesus Christ being the lover of our soul, being united with Him in relationship with Him. The similarities are there. The same people facing the same people at the same place. The only difference is they had their eyes on Jesus and it made the world of a difference. Your defeat is not bigger than your God. Your God's bigger than your defeat. Examine your loss if you want. You can do it till the cows come home. But you took your eyes off of Jesus. That will be the thing. And so if it is a pathway of victory is this. It's so simple. We complicate the pathway of victory. Get your eyes onto Jesus. Get your eyes onto Him. We can see how things change so quickly. Because in Joshua chapter 7, it finishes, they're backslidden, they get their eyes onto Jesus. Joshua chapter 8, God recommissions him and says, right, I'm going, I have given you the king, I've given you the area. Now go for it. We can see the similarities. And God sent him back to the very place that they'd failed in. It's not something we would have did. But they got defeated at Ai, and they ended up on their face. Now me, the last place I would have wanted to face would have been Ai. But God says, right, I'm sending you back to the place that you were defeated. I'm sending you back to that place. You got a deed in my strength because he didn't want him to come to the end of the gaining of the land and say, we conquered everything but I. What does that say about God? Is God not strong enough to give us victory in there? The last place I would have wanted to be was going straight back into I. Let's avoid that place. Let's avoid that place. We've just suffered defeat, but God said, I'm sending you back in there so you will ken that the battle belongs to the Lord. And sometimes God will deal us in suffering defeat. If you've got a bit greedy, oh, it all became about money, it all became about us, it all became about that. And God will say, right, well, I'm dealing with this and I'm sending you back in. And God will give us generous hearts. And some people say, well, I'm just avoiding the whole money subject. I'm going to avoid all that. I've failed with money before. I've gotten clean my eyes off of God before. Maybe God wants to turn into the most generous giver in the world. I think the guy, the tax collector, if I climbed a tree and he was stealing for Abdi. And then Jesus spots him and he comes to me and says, I'm going to be the most generous giver. God sent him back into his eye, the thing that kept on tripping him up. God sent him back in and changed his heart and changed his life a room. And God sent him back in to back into this very same place. Sometimes we're just great at making excuses for nae winning the territory. Sometimes we get the blame thing. It's his fault, it's her fault, it's the pastor's fault, it's their fault. If it wasn't for them, I'd be far more spiritual. We'd be gaining far more territory. How can I go? The pastor sets a level for my spirituality. Far in the Bible says that. We are far, far we're at the day because we've either got our eyes on Jesus or we haven't. We're great at making excuses, people. We need to stop making excuses. When I say we are far, we're at the day because we've either got our eyes onto Jesus or our eyes have come off of Jesus and onto something else. God wants to give us victory. God wants us living in Joshua chapter 8. And he can say, people, FCC, I've got some land for you. I've given you the land. Just go in. Keep your eyes upon me. I've given you the land. Stop making excuses. Stop blaming your parents. Stop blaming your upbringing. Stop blaming the person next to you. Stop, oh, the pastor isn't giving my ministry so I can prove myself. If he just gave my ministry, I'd be okay. I could prove myself. We've heard things like that before, but people, let's stop making excuses for far we're at spiritually. God has made it simple. get your eyes upon me, for every person that would get their eyes upon Jesus Christ, we would find ourselves in a place of victory very, very quickly. It might be 5 of us, it might be 50 of us, but for a congregation, we need to get our eyes upon Jesus, or we will remain in Joshua chapter 7 until we learn the principle. Because Joshua chapter 7, they got their eyes off of Jesus, and some people just go running in circles, and they're stuck in Joshua chapter 7. They face their eye, they get defeated, and they grumble about it, they blame Abdi else, and then they get up themselves, and they try and face their eye again without Jesus, without their getting their eyes onto God, and they find themselves defeated again. They go, well, I'll dust myself doing, I'll deal with that. And they get up again, they try and face their eye, the thing that continually defeats them again. And they get stuck in Joshua chapter 7, and God wants to bring them into Joshua chapter 8 if we would just learn, hey, get our eyes upon Jesus, seek his face, dismiss everything else, burn for Jesus Christ. Let's see as 2 in 1 for Jesus Christ. But let's get our eyes upon him. God can do it quickly. They repented, came back to him, put their eyes upon him, and says, now I'm going to commission you again. This time in the name of the Lord. I'm going to give you victory. And you've realized the principle. Church, have we realized the principle? Have we realized the principle of it is to get our eyes upon Jesus? We'll stick in Joshua chapter 7 until we learn if it is to gain victory. The battle, the victory belongs to the Lord. I pray we really get this message. I pray I get this message. I pray I would stop making excuses. I can make excuses. This church would be further than it was if it wasn't for him and her. And you get restless and you get anxious and you blame and you get discouraged and you're stuck in Joshua chapter 7 until you realize, hold on. I am for I am a day. Either because I've got my eyes off of Jesus or my eyes on Jesus. And it suddenly can happen. Everything changed. Suddenly, excitement came back into the place. Excitement came back into the nation because God spoke to them and says, now I'm commissioning you. You've been in Joshua chapter 7 too long, but you've got your eyes upon me. Now I'm wanting to do something amazing again with you. Do we want victory, people? Do we want it God's way? My desire, God says, is for this town to burn. I've commanded you, now go and do it. I think God's desire for us is for us to burn with him and to go and see this tune burn for Jesus, to see our friends and family rejoice in his goodness. But we will stick in Joshua chapter 7 unless we learn the principle. It's got to be about him. It's got to be about him. And I get too distracted to the left or to the right by ministries for failing, for succeeding. How great you are as a Christian, how nae good you are as a Christian. Stop making excuses. Let's be a church. We are failings, our weaknesses, our baggage to say, okay, we're learning for the past. We can that God's got things for the future. Let's be a church that will turn our eyes upon Jesus. And may it be the testimony of the church. We are a church that have got our eyes upon Jesus. We can. The person to the left are weak. And as weak as us, the person to the right, we came, we're a church with failings, we came, we're imperfect people, but would we be a church to say, we're seeing past that, we love each other, and we've got our eyes upon Jesus? Because that will be the difference between success and failure. Let's keep this very simple. The only difference between Joshua 7 and Joshua 8 was to learn the principle, get our eyes upon Jesus. And then everything changed. Everything changed. And moving on, Fayette, there was an apparent defeat. What I love about us is that it looked as though Israel was being defeated again. Is that the first time Israel came, they came up in their own strength. I confronted them, the runaway, 36 people lost their lives, it was defeated, they got their face before the Lord, God dealt with them, God dealt with the sin, they got their eyes upon Jesus, God recommissioned them and said, I've gave you everything, now go in my strength, my desire is for this town to burn, I've commissioned you. And then the same thing happened, Israel comes out, And I confronts them. They start running again. Joshua spending a night in a valley. A night in a valley. For anybody that's hung around Christianity for any length of time, Joshua spent a night in a valley. He spent a night in a dark place in a valley moment. So he's in a dark place in a valley moment. Israel starts running. If I again, I would run faster. So yeah, okay. And I starts chasing him. Freeze that for a second. That is an apparent defeat. If you just to freeze that, it would look as though Israel's getting defeated again. It would look as though we're going to push play. I's got to do the same thing. 36 people will be killed. Israel, everything changed because they got their eyes on the Lord, but it looked like an apparent defeat. A love and an apparent defeat turns into an overwhelming victory. I like watching football. I would rather my team is doing 3-1 with 5 minutes to go and come back and win 4-3 with 5 minutes to go than win 1-0 comfortably. It's more exciting, isn't it? You say, whoa, it was amazing. It looked like an apparent defeat turned into an overwhelming victory. Sometimes it looks as though we are getting defeated. But if we've got our eyes onto Jesus, victory will come. But our seasons in our life, that it will look like we are getting defeated. If you look at the history of the church in the Northeast, there have been more Christians in previous generations than there are a day in the Northeast. You'd probably say aye. There have been revivals in history. You've got to be okay with a season and apparent defeat as long as you've got your eyes onto Jesus. And so it looks as though the day you think, oh, we're getting defeated. What's going on? We've lost ground. And I'll tell you why we lost ground. We've lost ground because some people, me included, got our eyes off of Jesus. Because if we kept our eyes on Jesus, it was continuing, revival would have grew and grew and grew. But at some point, we got our eyes off of Jesus. The church got their eyes off of Jesus. But for the people that will get their eyes back onto Jesus for a while, it might look as though you're getting defeated again. And people might say, well, the church isn't what it used to be. And people might say, we hid our chance back then. Not sure if it can happen new. Israel on the run, I coming at him again. Does it look as though we're getting defeated? Apparently so. The victory is the Lord's. If you got hope in your life today with your eyes on Jesus, that it might look as though we're getting defeated, but God's got to give us victory. Do we live with the hope with our eyes upon Jesus, the hope of glory within us is this? It might look as though we're getting defeated here. But that's only if it looks like, because I can that my God can set us place on fire. I can that my God can ambush us place. So though it might look as though we are being defeated, I'm approaching this a totally different way for Joshua 7 when I did get defeated. I'm now in victory in Joshua chapter 8. It might look as though for a season that, actually, this isn't working out here. Actually, we might as well go and do something else. But for them that will have their eyes upon Jesus, will stick with it. Because they can, it might look as though we're being defeated. We can that very shortly God has given us a strategy to take the hill tune for Jesus Christ. And too many people get disgruntled with their eyes upon Jesus, looking at the past and saying how much the past was better because it used to be better back then. Israel was on the run again. Joshua spent a night in a valley. He kent his God, and he kent that victory was just round the corner. It's the apparent defeat. Maybe your life, people wondering, why are you still going to church? You're defeated. Christianity's not cool anymore. It's not cool for school anymore. The teen prayer out of schools. Bible reading out of schools. They kind of stop our God, people. Come on. You might look at your individual life and people might say, you're Dean still going to church. Is Dean still hoping? You go through a season of apparent defeat. Things aren't working out for you. You've got to get a real life. Enough for us religion. You'll go through a season of apparent defeat before God takes you into an overwhelming victory. Hallelujah. You look at the news and you see that, hey, again, ISIS, all these things, Christianity's shrinking, Muslims are taking over. And I think within myself, this looks like an apparent defeat. My God doesn't move in apparent defeats. Does yours? He moves in victory. And it's near beyond good just to start something amazing while it looks as though there's an apparent defeat coming our way, that God would stir the church up to a place so it's got to be about him. And we'll see towns on fire for Jesus Christ again. And we'll continue because we have learned the principle. Keep our eyes upon Jesus or he'll take it off of us, and learn us as individuals to keep our eyes upon him. People, are you going through an apparent defeat? People think, God, oh, messed up, where are they going? Why are they still going on? Why are they still going on for Jesus? People, things might not be working out for them. Didn't they get the job that they hoped for? It's apparent defeat. What I tell you is an overwhelming victory coming your way. Because that's why Jesus moves. And you look at the hill, look at the cross. Sometimes multitudes was following Jesus. Success. Hallelujah. Jesus moved in success. Then as the time got closer to the cross, people started to disown him. At the point of the cross, the enemy was rejoicing. It was his plan as well. It was just an apparent defeat. It looks as though Jesus is lost, doesn't it? Because he's crucified at 33. But hallelujah. What an overwhelming victory. Resurrection power. He starts showing up to people. He starts doing miracles. He starts walking the earth again. People start following him. But then he leaves. At that time, they were persecuting anybody that would speak in the name of Jesus. Being brought forth between to the Sanhedrin, chucked in prison, being told, now speak in his name again. Jesus told the disciples to wait until the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and beyond. 120 people waiting in the upper room. Do they look like they're living in overwhelming victory? No. They're running maybe a bit scared. They ended with 120. Maybe they started with a congregation of 5,000, but our 4,000 decided we're not waiting long enough for this gift that's supposed to come. 120 under persecution. Apparently, Christianity is defeated. The leader's gone. He's crucified at the age of 33. They've got religion against him. They've got the world against him. 120 up, apparently defeated. But there's a whisper that comes from heaven. I've got a plan. Why don't you set us to on fire? So they're waiting. Hear a wind start to blow. Whoosh. Apparently they're defeated. A wind starts to blow. They've got their eyes upon Jesus. Apparently defeated. A wind starts to blow. They hear it. Euphoria enters the room. Jesus enters the room by his spirit. They look up. They see tongues of fire. It's an apparently defeated people. The roar of heaven was, I'm commanding you, set this tune on fire. It was an apparent defeat. They'd been running. God had given them a strategy. They got their eyes upon Jesus. But overwhelming victory is ours in Jesus Christ. And they went out. People thought they were crazy. People thought they were drunk. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were overflowing. 120 people. 2,000 years later, Christianity has spread over the world. Millions, if not billions, of people worship Jesus, past and previous. We are here today, but at one point, there was an apparent defeat at Christianity. Fit would the message be about, fit would people be saying about 120 wasting their time? Have you heard about them? I think the Sanhedrin would have been giving each other high fives. I think the religious people would have given each other win bonuses because they snuffed out Jesus. But they didn't, because Jesus commanded, go, set this tune on fire. People, does it look as though we're defeated? There's a case to be said. But for Abdi, they would put their eyes upon Jesus. It's just an apparent defeat. God is in charge of an advancing kingdom. He'll set us on fire. We'll see the tongues. We'll get the breath of God upon our lives. And we'll have overwhelming victory. Church, have we learned a lesson? I'm going to ask Alison and the worship band to come up. We are to take communion together. I come out and take communion. I'm going to sing a song. One of my favourite songs, it's never left me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. As a church, we need to get at people. I'm speaking about me as an individual as well. And God has dealt with me and is still dealing with me. It's not about being a good teacher either. It's not about excelling in ministry and all that's good and well. It's about turning ourselves over to Jesus, turning our eyes upon Jesus, looking full into his face. And I think as a church, we should just sing that song. Maybe some of us are stuck in Joshua 7. Maybe you're stuck in Romans 7. Let's turn our eyes upon Jesus. And things can change quickly. He just commissioned him for that point. You've got my eyes upon you, right? I'm commissioning you. Go forth, I'm sending you in the exact same battle that you've just been defeated, but this time you've got to be victorious. A bit like me going into a ring with Tyson, getting defeated, and God saying, like, go back in and see Tyson. I'm like, no, no. But I'm sending Muhammad Ali in with me, and everything's changed. Now I'm on the victory's side. Maybe you feel defeated this morning. Get your eyes upon Jesus. The second you get your eyes upon Jesus, victory is yours. A heathen can walk in. As soon as they get their eyes upon Jesus, what are their issues? They're on the victory's side. Circumstances may be changed, and they changed immediately. But for everybody that puts their eyes upon Jesus, it's simple. On the victory's side. You get your eyes off for Jesus, and God will show us. You'll be stuck in Joshua chapter 7 until you learn. We get our eyes upon Jesus, but it doesn't end there. God will take us on that journey of victory. Although for a season, people, you might have to put up with people thinking that we look defeated and you look defeated. But I think changes when you've got your eyes upon Jesus, because even though it looks as though you're defeated, you can. I'm on the victory side. I've got Christ, and he's my hope. People's opinions aren't my hope. If people's opinions was your hope, you'd be finished long ago. If you crave the attention or their prayers or get too disappointed at their negativity, you'd be finished long ago. So our hope isn't in that, our hope is in Christ. And so though the world might say, Christianity, it's not cool anymore. That's for that generation, three generations ago. And we'll do if we'll like to deal with marriage, to deal with everything. I'm not getting into that battle. I'm putting my eyes upon Jesus. He can deal with that. He's big enough to deal with that. He's just looking for our people. Wasn't it a deal with numbers? Joshua said, well, we'll send Abdi, wasn't it? He did it with Gideon, with 300, didn't he? He can deal with three, as long as they've got their eyes upon Jesus. It's not a numerical thing. He'll deal with anybody, whosoever, that have learned a lesson, get their eyes upon him. So certainly wasn't a numerical thing. We didn't need 2,000 people to pull us off. We didn't need 200 people to pull us off. We need us with our eyes upon Jesus. I'm pretty sure God can pull it off. I've decreed you, set this town on fire. Now just go and do it. As we come, as we take communion, we turn our eyes upon Jesus. We'll just let the worship flow. Let's get our eyes upon Jesus. Let's ask God to commission us, to fill us with his Holy Spirit, to hear the tongues of fire, to hear the boldness, to hear the window change upon us. With our eyes upon him. It might look like we're defeated, but it's just an apparent defeat. Jesus is coming back as a victorious one, as the King of Kings. He's got to humble everybody. Everything will be under his feet. By the government, will be humbled in his presence. It might look as though they won, but there's only one winner, Jesus Christ. We're on the winning side. Let's stand. We'll partake of communion as you feel led. Let's sing a song, let's turn our eyes upon Jesus. And so God, we thank you for your message. God, we thank you that you teach us, you humble us. We thank you that you humble us when we go wrong, because we learn. God, our eyes coming back onto you. And we thank you that you can send revival, you can send salvation and healings and deliverance. But we really didn't want it without our eyes being on you, because then it'll become about us. And so, God, I pray for us time that when we're in, it'll be about you, Jesus. May we seek in your face now, Paul, like a tent or meeting. We speak to you face to face as Moses spoke to you in that tent. I pray for Abdi in here, we get a sense of overwhelming victory. It might look as though we're defeated, but you're not a God that is defeated. You've never been defeated. You'll never be defeated. You're God Almighty. Sometimes it might look as though we're losing. I pray to encourage us. The overwhelming victory can be just around the corner. Set us tune on fire for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll partake of communion, but let's sing.